We've been studying the Christian lifestyle alongside the Apostle Peter. Citizenship in God's kingdom brings with it a new set of values, a new character, a new allegiance that supersedes all of our previous commitments in this world. It amounts to a new lifestyle, a new set of clothes for one's life. Now, the style may vary a bit between various cultures, but over time, as Christians grow, they begin to manifest the character of Christ reflected through their own unique personalities and situation. And a distinctly Christian lifestyle emerges. Peter outlines for us this new life and godliness in 2 Peter chapter 1. Today, our text will progress just into verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1, just into verse 5. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received the faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine powers has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. Add to your faith. In this wonderful project of building a Christian lifestyle, Peter says that everything begins and everything rests on faith. Now, if you go on and you glance down there through verse 7, you see that he's clearly going to build a stairway from faith to love. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going. And each element kind of leads to the next in a logical fashion, and each logically depends on the one before it. Which means that the item beginning the list is the fundamental starting point. It is the one indispensable prerequisite for developing a Christian lifestyle. Everything else can be constructed on top of something else except this first item. It's what a foundation is to a house or an axiom is to geometry. On the journey to a Christian lifestyle, you truly can't leave home without it. And it's faith. Not faith in the abstract, of course, faith in anything, but faith in Jesus, obviously. When you're talking about building a life that's like Christ, it doesn't do any good to have faith in a rabbit's foot or a faith in yourself. You need faith in Him, naturally. And every step of the way, you add something more to your experience. And Peter says, he begins by saying, add to your faith. You don't add faith to something else. This is the fundamental starting point for a Christian lifestyle. And that's because faith is all about being spiritually alive. When we say that faith is fundamental for spiritual growth, all we're saying is that spiritual growth depends on something or someone first being spiritually alive. Nothing dead can grow. Well, everything that is alive naturally grows if given a chance. The whole concept of spiritual life is a little tricky to discuss. Because it's actually possible to talk about it without experiencing it, the way a blind person can talk about vision. But like vision, it's something that's meant to be experienced, not just described. And a person without it may have difficulty believing it even exists. Think for a moment about the way human beings experience life as three profoundly different modes. We experience life, for example, in a physical mode. We have these magnificent senses which make us internally aware of light rays and sound waves and chemicals in the air and in the food we eat. We can sense up and down. We can sense left or right. We can sense heavy or light. Our muscles can manipulate and shape other objects. One mode of life is relating to the outside creation. We also experience life in what you might call a mental mode. We can imagine things that we have sensed before, things that we have seen or felt. We can imagine things that we've never sensed, whole new ideas, new combinations of sensations, like a new design of lines or combination of tastes. We can deal with abstract symbols, like words and numbers. We can sense emotions and values and commitments, none of which are physical. Another mode of life is relating to our own humanity, to our own inner thoughts, or the thoughts even of others. Well, there's a third mode of life, the spiritual. Now, spiritual life, that may sound kind of mysterious, but it's really no surprise. Because after all, the physical and the mental modes are equally mysterious, are they not? We're just used to them. I mean, haven't you ever marveled at the ability to take billions of scattered photons and construct a perfect visual representation of the world around you? Haven't you ever marveled at the miracle of language, the way these complex thoughts can be communicated with abstract symbols? Relating is a very mysterious thing, whether it's to the outside world or to ourselves and others. Spiritual mode, the life in spiritual mode, is that of relating to our Creator, who is not part of us and He's not part of the physical world. It's a different mode. Everyone is aware of God physically. We hear, we smell, we taste, we touch evidence of Him all the time. We're aware of God mentally. We can read books about God and religion. We can think thoughts. We can feel emotions concerning Him. The Scripture says that everyone is aware of God. It's just that we naturally suppress that awareness because we are too fearful and too self-centered to want to treat Him as God. We choose to live as though God were simply not there. Think about it, not present in the room, or as if He were someone else. Spiritual life is being properly related to the living God. Not only being aware of Him physically and mentally, but being willing to perceive Him accurately and respond to Him appropriately. Because of a disaster that happened with our first parents, human nature has become flawed in that our perception of our Creator is ruined from birth. And we are predispositioned to assume final authority over our own lives. In other words, pretending we were not created at all and have no responsibilities toward the person who made us. Most babies are born in reasonably good physical shape and reasonably well-functioning mental capacities. But no infant comes into this world willing to relate to his or her Creator. Whatever spiritual apparatus we're born with is faulty. The sense that we do have of God is warped, skewed, distorted. We feel jealous of Him and naturally want to take His place. It is in this sense that can be said that we are born dead with respect to God, with respect to that mode of living. He created us, but we cannot and will not relate to Him. As for you, Scripture says, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's what sin is. It's not relating to Him appropriately. And what this means is that while we can still sense God in the sunset, and we can still have theological discussions, we cannot, by nature, accept fully God's true goodness, and therefore His preeminence, that in every way He deserves to be first. To be spiritually alive is to worship our Creator in willing submission and overflowing joy. A spiritually dead person cannot live that way. He or she can be religious, maybe try to fill an inner void or fulfill social obligations. Such folks can even be happily religious, enjoying rituals which actually maintain a comfortable wall between them and the Lord. Do your religious bit, and then you're free to live as you please. But they cannot exalt the living God high above themselves in adoring affirmation of their Creator, who has the right to design our lives, in true surrender of their own twisted wants and desires. Faith has to do with relating to God accurately and appropriately so that the inevitable result is worship. Faith does not directly affect our physical relationships or our mental relationships. It does indirectly, but not directly. But what it does is enable us to relate to the living God appropriately. So you can think of it as another mode of life. And it's this kind of life that Jesus Christ creates in spiritually dead people. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again or born from above. And he went on to talk about being born of God's Spirit. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh, the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Through the Holy Spirit of God, the risen Lord Jesus continues to call people to life today. He regenerates whatever spiritual apparatus or abilities is ruined, and he enables a proper relationship with God. And by the way, if you want to know where in the Bible to look for that new relationship being talked about, look for the word covenant, because that's what the word means. It's talking about a relationship. Faith begins when we encounter the good news, the gospel of the covenant, and we learn the story of Jesus, God's Son from heaven, how wonderful a person he is, and how he gave himself for us so we could be spared God's judgment, and how he rose again from the dead, and how he lives in heaven and is going to come back to remake the earth. Faith begins when, by a work of God's grace, hearing that gospel, we actually begin to believe that it's true, and the relational barrier separating us from God has been breached. It's been breached by Jesus. Gospel faith believes that God is like Jesus. He's revealed in Jesus, and we discover his true goodness and his true greatness in Christ. And we see that a full relationship with God is not only possible, it's desirable. And we begin to admire the Lord. We begin to become inspired and overwhelmed by him and fall in love with the living God who made us. And we see how we have thought about him and treated him in the past, and we are ashamed. And we see how twisted our lives have become because we have ignored him, and we grieve. And we begin to realize that life can be more than we ever dreamed it could be, and how the ruin of life can be partly mended now and completely reversed for all eternity. And we rejoice, and life begins to be filled with hope. And through all of this, we find we've actually begun to worship him. Being able to properly relate to God, to spiritually see him or sense him in a worshipful way, that's fundamental to developing a Christian lifestyle. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You simply have to be spiritually alive before you can spiritually grow. That's the first thing that's implied by this phrase. Faith is fundamental. There's a second thing. Peter says, add to your faith. Add to your faith. Add to this, to this, to this. Now, we mustn't think that Peter simply means to go on from one thing to something else. No, no. The command to add to our faith does not picture us as going down a sequential checklist. Okay, first I need faith. Then what do I need? Goodness. So I'll set faith aside and look at goodness for a while. No, he's not talking about a checklist. Add to means that he is raising up a structure of a lifestyle, one thing on top of another thing. It's like when cheerleaders or acrobats climb on one another and make a living pyramid. Seen those things? You know, you add to the bottom layer, but you never take it away. I mean, if they take a break, the whole thing comes down. Faith bears the weight of all the other elements. It's used for all the other elements. You add to faith by using faith to move on to the next thing. In fact, faith is going to be instrumental in every step of a Christian lifestyle. You don't come to faith and say, well, now that's done, as if it were some kind of religious event isolated to itself. Faith isn't something you use once and throw away like a tube of glue. It's more like a hammer or a screwdriver that you use over and over and over again as you build your new life in Christ. So we see that a key factor in building a Christian lifestyle is learning how to use the faith we have. This is such a basic concept, it's hard to explain. You have to use the faith you have. There's a difference between having faith and using it. There's a difference between practicing our faith and actually using it in life. Let me illustrate with tennis. Let's say you were born with a genetic defect that made playing tennis impossible. But recent surgery has given you a new ability to play you never had before. Well, having that new ability doesn't mean you automatically play well, right? You've got to practice. I remember going out, maybe Mike remembers, there was a concrete wall out by the tennis courts at seminary. And I used to go out there and I used to take that tennis ball and I would just hit up against the concrete wall for hours. That's the hard thing about tennis, just hitting the ball right. Just hitting the ball, your whole body, hitting, hitting, hitting. Hours and hours and hours, okay. Practice learning it. The point I'm trying to make is this. There's a difference between having a new ability and even practicing it so you can use it well and actually playing a game with somebody, right? Abilities, even practiced abilities, are pointless unless they're actually used. Eye surgery corrects a child's double vision. Now, for the first time, he's able to read. He goes to school to learn how to read, practices many assignments for several years. What good is it unless that young man chooses a book or a periodical for himself and actually reads to improve his mind? What's the point? Faith is a gift of God. It is a new gift to be able to see him in Christ, a new ability to be able to relate to him worshipfully. So what does a Christian do? A Christian goes to church where we practice exercising our faith. And the songs and the sermon and the prayers, everything is designed to point to God, point to God. We practice relating to him worshipfully by liturgical elements. And we all know what to do, when to stand, what to do. And we practice those things. But what good is having faith and practicing faith on Sundays if we don't use it? We don't use faith a whole lot on Sundays. Sundays is kind of like going out and hitting the ball against the wall. I mean, if you love tennis, even that's fun. But as good as this can be, it's mostly practice. We're not playing much of a game. It's outside of church that we actually have the opportunity to use our faith. Worshiping God without the training wheels of the liturgy. Sacrificing to him, not just our songs, but our way of life. Faith is the ability to relate to God in Christ so that we can worship him any moment of the day, not liturgically, you have to get down on your knees or something, but worshiping him, treating him as being there, as being who he is in Christ Jesus. And that doesn't just happen any more than playing a game of tennis just happens. You got to make it happen. Faith is something we're meant to use all the time. And of course, you can always play with God. He's always available. Faith is relating to God through Christ in whatever you're doing, consciously stepping into his presence or looking to one side and just by faith seeing him there with you. He was there before, and you knew that. But you make contact with him. You relate to him as who he is. You don't always have to use a ritual to do that. When you're playing a match, you don't just stop in the middle of a point and go practice on the concrete wall. Everyday life is a match in which we get to use the faith we've already practiced. You use faith whenever and wherever you worship God the way you find him in Jesus, by knowing that he's there and he's sovereign and he's omnipotent and he's completely in control and he has a purpose for me. And he's wise and intelligent and righteous and he knows what needs to be done. And he's gracious and patient and loving. And he is right now 100% committed to me, because that's how I learned about him. This is the God I find in Jesus. And he has given me the ability to relate to my God that way, anytime I want to, any place. And so I relate physically to my surroundings, and I relate mentally to the people that I'm with. But through faith, my relationship with the living God right then and there towers over it all at the same time. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you don't see him now, you believe in him, and you're filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. I'm not by myself. I'm with my Lord now. We practice our faith every Sunday. We're practicing it right now. Building a Christian lifestyle depends on you and I learning to use that faith over and over and over again, taking the innate ability that we've honed and practiced and using it to play life with God, not sitting on the sidelines watching others play, not just sitting in the stands and watching the pros. Christian, your life is not meant to be sat through. It's meant to be played with increasing skill with God as your partner, not your opponent, your partner. Let me just mention these two points again and try to make it personal. Add to your faith. Add to two things. First, faith is a prerequisite for building a lifestyle that partakes of the divine nature and escapes the corruption of this world. You can't grow spiritually unless you're alive spiritually. And wherever this gospel is preached, the Lord Jesus is calling people to life, right? Is he doing so right now, right here? Why not? Why not? Is it possible that Jesus is awakening your soul right now? And you know that the Lord means these words for you, whoever it does. Physically and mentally, you've been alive for years, but your spirit is just starting to come alive. Whether you've successfully avoided religion for decades or just dabbled in it or been heavy into it, there's been a barrier along the edges of your life, a barrier keeping you and God apart. That barrier is made up of God's holiness on His side and your guilt and your fears and your stubbornness on your side. But you see a break in that barrier, a break around the cross of Christ. And there, at that break, that's where God gave everything to breach His holiness and your sin. And there you and He could meet and you could embrace and you could begin to get to know each other. And today there is nothing stopping you from going over to that breach and starting a new relationship and becoming part of Christ's new covenant with mankind. Nothing stopping you, maybe but pride, maybe some old habits. Are they really worth keeping you apart? You decide. Coming to Christ is a huge decision. I won't pretend it's not. It's like choosing one road over another road. And that's going to set your whole life off on a different direction toward a whole different eternal destination. It'll set you off on a profoundly different lifestyle guided by Jesus. He said, I'm the way, I'm the road. Choose me. Not this other road. But just like choosing a road, while it's a big decision, it's not complicated. You just choose where you want to go. You choose whether you want to live life with the God you can see in Jesus Christ or not. And you know something? If you can see God in Jesus, I don't think there's much of a choice left for you to make because your heart is already starting to worship Him. The other point of this phrase that we saw, add to your faith, is that we Christians must get used to using our faith outside the church. And I had a bunch of illustrations ready. I was going to talk about buying a house and all that stuff. But instead, I'm just going to end by telling you just a little story from my week. And I warn you ahead of time, it's trivial. Since my brother's death, I've been dealing, among other things, with three different banks, searching out and transferring accounts, that kind of stuff. And I'm just about fed up with red tape and not knowing the questions that I was supposed to have asked last time and waiting weeks for a response and finding out the carefully obtained notarized documents have vanished. And last Friday, I started to get angry. In the words of the Incredible Hulk, you don't want to see me when I'm angry. I hold things in until they burst out, and they burst out with a migraine headache and a very, very whiny attitude. Well, last Friday, I had just uncorked some fine wine, W-H-I-N-E, you understand. And I started to complain about the state of affairs and the banks and the red tape, and yeah, while I was at it, life in general wasn't so hot either. And Mickey and I could both feel it happening. You know, we were teetering on the edge. The entire day was about to tip over into the quagmire, with me taking her over the edge with me. My ungodly behavior was about to ruin us both. When Mickey decided to do something about it, she said, Glenn, where's God in all this? Now, if you have followed me emotionally in the last few moments, you will understand that that was not the question that I wanted to deal with at that moment. Okay? Bringing God into the conversation was not convenient. I had not finished whining yet. In fact, I'd just gotten started. So I repeated out loud the things I knew about God. He's in control. He cares for me. Yes, yes, I know these things. And rehearsing the truth is essential. It really is. But when your heart isn't in it, those truths lose all of their color and they become gray platitudes. A platitude is when we try to use the truth without relating to the God of truth. They remain true, but they're empty. They're hollow. Well, I knew that sooner or later I was going to have to actually relate to God. I knew He was there. I just didn't want to look at Him. I just didn't want to do it. You can't look at God while you're sinning. You can't do that. And I wasn't finished sinning yet. But Mickey kept asking me, where's God in all this? So I went ahead and I used my faith to look at Him. To look at Him. In other words, I just decided not only to think about him, know he's there, but to relate to him as I've come to know him in Christ. Well, as you might think, everything changed in about 5 seconds. Because I cannot relate to him without worshiping him. It's impossible to relate to the living God and not worship him. Can't be done. And he has this wonderful way of taking the color out of the lies and putting it back into the truth. And I realized that this stuff with the banks was a pain, but it really wasn't that big a deal. It's just an inconvenience, really. Not surprising for a world as messed up as this world is. And I realized immediately what I knew I was going to realize, that the biggest problem wasn't with the banks, it was with me. I didn't like it because the world did not revolve around my convenience. I was the problem. And worshiping God, of course, I realized that. And I realized instantly that God didn't care that the world didn't revolve around me. And suddenly I didn't either. Because God is in control. And he really does love me. I know that. Whatever I truly need, he's going to give me. And along the way, if I walk in faith, I'll get something I wasn't even looking for at the time, and that is a really great life. The migraine never materialized. We had a great day. And the bank details, well, they're progressing. Now, I chose such a very simple, trivial example for a couple reasons. One is that most of life is small stuff, right? So that's where faith can be most useful. And if we can't use our faith in the small stuff, what makes us think we're going to be able to use it in the bigger things? And also, this little story illustrates that faith and its partner, repentance, need to be used daily. They need to be used daily. We practice in the church liturgically once a week, okay, but we have to use it all the time. It also illustrates the difference between knowing the truth and relating to God himself, using our faith to relate to one who is sovereign and good and loves us so. The things that we know are true. Using our faith to relate. I mean, believe is a verb. Let's use it. And as a bonus, it also illustrated the value of fellowship. I really needed Mickey to help me relate to God that day, and that's often true, isn't it? Peter says, add to your faith. There is nothing more fundamental than this. Nothing more fundamental than faith. That's where life and godliness begins. Start relating to God through Jesus and do it today. And for all of us in covenant relationship with him, let's learn to use our faith all the time, walking, as it were, with Christ's Spirit, growing in our new life, step by step.